We're coming close to the conclusion of the Winter Olympic Games. Imagine having world-class Olympic caliber talent. You're in the Olympic Games, competing with the best in the world, and you dominate. You win that race. You win that competition, fair and square. You're about to celebrate. But some official has falsely claimed that you broke one of the rules. You're disqualified. That gold medal is going to somebody else. Your reaction would, of course, be protest, and people would agree with you. Okay, let's be more realistic. You have a full-time job. For an entire month, you have worked 40 hours a week and a little bit of overtime, too. You've accumulated honest wages that you expect to receive, only to discover that on payday, someone in payroll has applied all of your hours to another employee, and your check has too many zeros, no positive numbers. What would your reaction be? Outrage. You'd complain, and hopefully you could have this rectified. You'd recover what you deserve to get. Certainly, we recognize a person's right to get full credit for what he or she has earned. We have laws to that effect. Copyright laws exist to protect the work of musicians, writers. So it is really plagiarism and a sin to take the copyrighted published words of an author and quote them in your paper without giving proper acknowledgement of the source. Likewise, it would be cheating and a sin to take the homework done by your classmate and pass it off as your own, taking credit for something you didn't actually do. Let's keep these examples in mind as we hear a passage that identifies something far worse than plagiarism. It's the worst possible form of credit stealing. The one true God, the only God there is, has said this about himself, Isaiah 42, verse 8. I am the Lord, that is my name, and my glory I will not give to another, nor my praise to carved images. Stealing the credit from God. Imagine that. Well, you don't have to imagine that. It happens every day in the secular world. Here at Emmanuel, in your science classes particularly, we make a point of not only explaining how and why, but also who. Who it is who built this earth with well-designed structures. Who it is that made the life forms that we see and gave them mechanisms to replenish themselves according to his created laws of nature, which he put in place 6,000 years ago. Surely, Jehovah God deserves full credit for the work of creation, even as the architect and the contracting firm deserve credit for building the academic center. There's a parallel there. Now consider what the evolutionist is doing with his theory. Isn't he taking the credit away from God and falsely giving it to nature, I suppose? Nature making itself through random chance, accidental changes, mutations, etc., taking place over the course of billions of years. God won't stand for that credit stealing for very long. One day he will vindicate himself as the creator. One day he will make it plainly obvious to everyone that he truly is the maker of all things. Until then, we, his followers, have a responsibility to stand up for him, to represent his claims to the world, and defend his work based on what the Bible says. To that end, we therefore don't support the claim of evolution. We will not steal credit from God like that. Now, make no mistake about it. Creation-believing Christians still have other ways of robbing the glory, stealing God's credit. It happens quite a bit in the form of pride. We let pride take over. We do that by thinking of ourselves primarily as the one who did all the hard work, earned all that money, got the good grade by, you know, this thing up here. Made that awesome play in the game last week. What a stud. Yes, we have our own ways of thinking about ourselves, forgetting what God did in us and through us. We forget to thank God for abilities He provided, opportunities He gave, resources He put before us and around us. We don't thank Him for the help that He provides. This self-centered pride that I have and you have, it's just as wrong, just as much of a sin as supporting evolution. Or making the Muslim claim that the Creator God is known as Allah. Thankfully, God will get the glory for doing something we desperately need Him to do. Our sins of pride and thanklessness really are a good reason, enough of a reason for God to be done with us, condemn us to hell. He would not lose glory if He did that, not really. It would be true to His justice and His holiness. In fact, if He did not punish our sins, if He simply swept it under the rug, as the saying goes, well, that would diminish the glory of who He is. Here's where Jesus enters the picture as the greatest thing God ever did. On the one hand, we have this intimidating aspect of God, the Holy One. On the other hand, we have this incredible aspect of God, the Gracious One. Holiness and grace, they almost seem incompatible, but think again, in the person and work of Christ, they combine together in harmony. This happens at the cross of Jesus especially, and I want you to join me today in thinking it through. In keeping with God's holiness, there is that constant requirement that everyone live a perfect life. No exceptions. Well, the grace of God found a way to make that happen. Jesus living the perfect life for you. On the other side of the coin, we've got the holiness of God requiring that all of our sins be punished. No exceptions. Well, the grace of God found a way to make that happen. Jesus taking that punishment in our place. God surely gets the glory for what we could call the great exchange. 2 Corinthians 5. He made Him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in Him. Can we rephrase that? All of our sins transfer to Jesus so that He gets the blame, the shame, the full penalty. Meanwhile, His perfect record has been applied to you and me. No, it's not a case of false identification. This is not credit stealing either. This is your salvation done for you. This is your forgiveness established with certainty. This is the best reason we have to thank God continually and give Him all the credit, all the glory for acting as our holy, gracious, glorious Savior in Christ. Amen. Yes, we give glory to our God, not only in chapel addresses, but hymns as well. We sing stanzas 1 and 3 of hymn 37, stanzas 1 and 3. One announcement up here. Would the robotics scout team please meet under that basket right after chapel today? Brief meeting.